بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Continuing our readings and the treatise by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, reading from the book he has entitled Thalathatu Usulin wa Adillatuha, the three fundamental principles and their evidences. We begin reading this evening, seeking Allah's assistance and his aid in the third introduction before the author. He has mentioned the al-usul thalatha, Al-Muqaddimah Al-Thalitha. He says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, I'alam, arshadaka Allahu li ta'ati, anna al-hanifiyyata millata Ibrahim, an ta'bud Allah wahdahu mukhlisan lahu ad-din. Wa bidhalika amara Allahu jami'an nas, wa khalaqahum laha, kama qala ta'ala, wa ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa, illa liya'budun, wa ma'na ya'budun, yuwahhidun. وأعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد وهو إفراد الله بالعبادة وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك وهو دعوة غيره معه والدليل قوله تعالى واعبد الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. The author, he mentioned again beginning this third introduction that he has placed in the as a presentation or introduction before the three fundamental principles and the main topic of the treatise, the third introduction. He says, and know, may Allah guide you to His obedience, that al-hanifiyya, the religion of Ibrahim, is that you worship Allah alone with no partners, making the religion sincerity for Him. And this is what Allah has commanded all of mankind, and He has created them for this purpose. Just as Allah has said, and the meaning of which is, and I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. He says, rahimahullah, the meaning of to worship me alone, meaning to single me out alone in worship with tawheed. He says, rahimahullah, the greatest thing that Allah has commanded is tawheed. And this is to single out Allah alone for worship. The greatest thing that Allah has commanded, at tawheed. Islamic monotheism, and this is to single out Allah alone in worship. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, the greatest thing that Allah has prohibited is shirk, associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And this is to, he says, to call on another besides Allah along with him, to supplicate and to invoke another besides Allah along with him. He said, the evidence for this, rahimahullah, the evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him. And worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him. So we see that all three of these introductions, they have begun in the same manner. And the author, he has begun all of them with drawing the listener or the reader's intention, mentioning how important the affair is. I'lam. No. What does i'lam mean here? What does that mean? Ta'allam. Ahsant. Ta'allam. We've seen that in the previous introductions. He says here i'lam, but what does that really mean? It means to know, and it means to learn. To learn so that you will know. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Another hadith we can memorize, very short and very beneficial likewise. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بالتعلم, that knowledge is only by way of learning. Knowledge is only by way of learning. No doubt that knowledge is from the sustenance and the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it's from the favor and the grace and the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it comes from Him, but He has made a means to obtain it, and that is learning and studying. There's a means that it is obtained. One has to take the means in order to obtain these blessings. It is from the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised every individual, but there are means that Allah has legislated in order to obtain it. And this particular sustenance and this particular rizq, al-ilmu, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بتعلم. That knowledge is only by way of learning. Knowledge is only by way of learning. So إعلم أي تعلم. You have to learn. You have to learn so that you can know this. It's very important. And then likewise he said, رحمه الله أرشدك الله لطاعتي. May Allah direct you and guide you to his obedience. May Allah direct you and guide you to his obedience. أرشدك الله يعني هداك ووفقك إلى ما ينفعك في دنياك وآخرتك أو أخراك. يعني the meaning of that, أرشدك الله. May Allah direct you, meaning may Allah guide you. And may Allah give you success and facilitate for you to be able to believe and have the correct knowledge and understanding and be able to apply that in a good manner. Living upon ar-rushd or rashad, guidance and correct creed and also correct actions in this life and in the hereafter. This is the supplication. So the author again, he is gathering between bringing benefit to the people and also supplicating for them. And he's doing two acts of ihsan. In this methodology here, not only is he benefiting us, not only is he benefiting the Muslims by clarifying for them their religion, not only is he benefiting the Muslims by summarizing these great issues in just a few small words or in a short treatise, and he's summarizing from the great works of the ulama and from the most important affairs found in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and then summarizing that, taking that out of those texts and from the bellies of the books and putting them in an easy summarization for the people to learn and to understand. And this great effort that he's doing by aiding the Muslims in their religion, teaching them and educating them and nourishing them, and he's supplicating for them at the same time. And he's supplicating for them at the same time. He's teaching them and then calling on Allah Azza wa Jal to aid them and to support them and to direct them and to have mercy upon them and to forgive them and the likes like this. إِعْلَمْ أَرَشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. This is also a sign of sincerity, and that he is a sincere advisor. And a sincere advisor is the one who has his intention of giving advice and teaching for the face of Allah alone. He wants the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he advises the people. And he directs them, hoping for the reward from Allah, not from the people. Hoping that the deen of Allah azza wa jal will spread in their hearts. Hoping that he can be a means, that Allah azza wa jal will use him as a means to spread his religion and use him as a means to unlock the hearts and bring goodness to the lands. This is also from that aspect of jihad. And we have seen that teaching is a type of jihad. And before that, seeking knowledge is a type of jihad. Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned a very beautiful benefit related to that, this type of jihad. Just as those people who fight with weapons, fi sabilillah, they conquer the lands to open them up so that da'wah can spread. The ulama, they are also fighting in jihad, but they are not conquering the lands and opening up the lands. But rather the ulama, يَفْتَحُونَ الْقُلُوبِ يَفْتَحُونَ قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. They're opening up the hearts for guidance. So this is the battle here. The author he is involved in, he wants to open the hearts for the people so they can understand the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a great jihad and effort, striving to remove the darkness and the misguidance and the ignorance from the hearts of the people, particularly from the Muslims, to remove misguidance and shubuhat. This is a great effort. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes one may even be harmed in that path. As we have seen, the author himself has been harmed, and they have lied about him, and they have even fought against him. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Rahimahullah ta'ala. But we have a great creed and belief as a Muslim, and it's in the statement of Allah, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that the final outcome is for the righteous. The final outcome is for the righteous. Whether it appears that they win in this life or lose, that final outcome, if they're righteous, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be praiseworthy. And we see that maybe the author, possibly he didn't see the great spreading of his efforts in his lifetime, but after his lifetime we see how his efforts have spread through the lands. And likewise, for another example, Al-Hafiz al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, how the efforts that he has made, and maybe he didn't see how great they had spread through the ummah in his lifetime, but now after his death, over 600 years, we see there's almost no masjid, except there's a book, Riyad al-Salihin, inside that masjid, and there's almost no student of knowledge, except for he has memorized the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, or he is memorizing them, and the likes like this. And this is all from the barakah of that person, of his effort and his intention, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted that. That's a sign, and Allah knows best, and that Allah has written qabool for their efforts after their death, and have brought great good from their efforts even after they have died. رحمهم الله تعالى. So a believer, he want to be upon their path, upon their way. And at very least, he loves them. He loves them. At very least, he loves them. And there's a great hadith from Anas with regards to loving the people. Who knows that hadith? يعني الشيء بشيء يذكر. Hadith Anas. Actually, we spoke about part of the hadith yesterday in the class. There was a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, متى الساعة؟ أو سأل عن الساعة. He said, when is the hour? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, ماذا أعددت لها؟ What did you prepare for it? What did you prepare for it? This was the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam redirecting the questioner to that which is most beneficial for him. Whenever the questioner, that someone asks a question that's not beneficial or it's not proper or befitting to be asked, he would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would redirect him to ask the proper question. Rather, what did you prepare for it? And that man, actually his response to that question, he said, what did you prepare for it? He said, that man, he said, لا شيء إلا أنني أحب الله ورسوله. He said, not much. I don't prepare much. And I don't have lots of deeds. But except that I love Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, المرء مع من أحب. That a person, he will be along with those whom he loves. So Anas radiallahu anhu said, مَا فَرِحْنَا فَرَحَنَا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. He said, we were never so happy as we were that day when we heard that hadith. And then Anas, he said, Wallahi, I love Allah and His Messenger and Abu Bakr wa Umar. Wallahi, this is, he heard that and immediately he's applying that. Anas radiallahu anhu, Wallahi, I love Allah. I love Allah and the Messenger and Abu Bakr and Umar. He said, even though my deeds are not like theirs, but wallahi, I love them. And I hope that Allah will allow me to be along with them, not because of my actions, but because of my love for them. So a believer, he loves Allah and His Messenger, and he loves those believers. And he hopes that even though he can't be at their rank and status, that his love for them will bring him to their level. And in the hereafter, because they have high levels and ranks and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from that allegiance that the author he has mentioned previously, to love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to love those who Allah loves, and to love those who love Allah azza wa jalla, and to love for His sake. Naam. So the author he says, "Arshadak Allahu li ta'atihi at-ta'a." What is at-ta'a? What does that mean? Obedience. It's a general word of obedience. There could be a lot of things that could be understood there. What does it mean?
Submission.
Submission. Sah. How can one perform actions of obedience? And it's a concise term. What is included in that?
Compliance.
Mm-hmm.
According to the sunnah of his brother.
Mm-hmm. Remember we learned before, disobedience, that was the opposite of ta'a? Ma'asiyah. What was ma'asiyah?
Whatever Allah forbidden.
Ma'asiyah happened in two ways. Tarku ma amara Allahu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aw irtigab مَا نَهَا أَنْهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Disobedience occurs in two ways, by leaving off something that Allah and His Messenger commanded, or by perpetrating and committing something that Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has prohibited. So the opposite is ta'a. The opposite is ta'a. So what does that mean? To perform. To perform what Allah has commanded, and to stay away from what Allah has prohibited. This is obedience. This is considered obedience. Hoping for Allah's reward. Hoping for Allah's reward. To perform what He has commanded and stay away from His obedience. So if somebody performed what He commanded, but he didn't stay away from His obedience, would he be considered from the people of Ta'a? He performed Salat, but he does not stop backbiting. Is he from the people of obedience? He gives zakat, but he takes interest. Or gives interest. Is he from the people of obedience? La. So ta'a, it consists of both these things. This is something that's very beneficial to keep in our mind. Although it's clear, but whenever we discuss it, It helps a person to visualize and to see the reality. And obedience to Allah and His Messenger, it means to comply to their commandments as well as staying away from their prohibition. To stay away from the prohibition. So to comply to the commandment and stay away from the prohibition, this is considered obedience. This is considered obedience. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla, He guides His servant to His obedience, this is the greatest of all blessings, to be guided to the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And also, this is something that a believer has to pay attention to, that it's from the guidance of Allah that one obeys Him. So this is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If somebody obeys Allah Azza wa Jalla, that's from the favor of Allah. Allah has chosen that person for obedience. Naam? Allah has chosen that person for obedience. Not everybody is allowed to obey Allah. Everybody is commanded to obey Allah, but not everybody has given success to do that. Some people, they are given success. This is from the ulama, they say, min fadlillahi al-mahd, yani pure grace and mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not because a person is handsome, or a person is clever, or a person has money or status or lineage, but rather it's the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. A grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah guides someone to His obedience, then he has everything. Yani all good, and nothing can harm him. Yani this is the best thing, to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla. To be obedient, he has been guided to that which is the greatest success and a'zam al-fawz, and to be obedient to Allah. And this reminds me of a statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He said, "A'zam al-karama luzum wa istiqama." A'zam al-karama luzum wa istiqama. The greatest honor and nobility. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He honors His creation, some of them with many different things. And the virtue of Allah is some they have more than others, and some have in different aspects. But the greatest of all of this virtue, and the greatest of all honor from Allah Azza wa Jalla, is to be steadfast upon His straight path, to be steadfast upon obedience. And that's one of the meanings of al-rashad, or al-rushd, al-istiqama, ala tariq al-haq, to be steadfast. The one who is considered rashid, he is the one who is, or he has rashad, or he's a person of rushd. All these words are similar. And synonyms, they mean being steadfast upon obedience to Allah. And that is the straight path that leads to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say ameen, and we hope that Allah will accept the author's dua with our regards. Ya'lam arshadaka Allahu li ta'atihi. Now he is saying here, anna al-hanifiyya. Anna al-hanifiyya millata Ibrahim. Yani what is hanifiyya? He's clarifying millata Ibrahim. How do we read this? Anna al-hanifiyyata, the word milla. How do you read it? Dhamma, fatha, or kasra? Fatha. What's he got? Dhamma. That's what it says. Okay, fatha. No. What is it? Fatha. Limada? Ma irabu.
Oh.
Millata Ibrahima. Both words. Anna al-hanifiyyata millata. Sah. Yani it's badal. The ulama says it's badal. Or they call it atful bayan, which is probably a better i'rab here, but they can use the same place. Atful bayan. Yani bimana anna al-hanifiyya ma hiya al-hanifiyya hiya millata Ibrahim. أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. ملة إبراهيم, what is ملة, what is the way of Ibrahim? الحنيفية. What is حنيفية? The way of Ibrahim. Now if somebody said, okay, what is that? What was the way of Ibrahim that is known as الحنيفية? أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين. That's the جواب. So he's telling الحنيفية, which is actually the way, the ملة is a deen. Al-millah, deen, is the deen, is the religion, is the way. Naam of Ibrahim. Ma'i Rabbi Ibrahim. Majur. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Mada tukul? Sahih. هذا عبد الله. ملة إبراهيم. مضاف إليه. والفتح مضاف إليه مجرور دائما صح؟ لماذا فتح هنا؟ ممنوع من الصرف. أيوة. لماذا ممنوع من الصرف؟ We didn't get there yet. I'm not gonna. Maybe some other brothers know. In our class, we didn't get there yet, huh? العلمير والجميع والأجمع صح. Because it's a proper name and it's a non-Arabic name. أحسنت. أيوة. ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له دين. So if somebody said ما معنى الحنيفية أو ما هو ملة إبراهيم, what do you say? أن تعبد الله مخلصا له دين. نعم, to worship Allah alone with no partners, to make the deen sincerely alone for Allah and no one else. أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له دين. مخلصا له الدين. We're talking about Arabic tonight. ما إعراب دين. مخلصا له الدين. We definitely didn't get here yet, but maybe somebody can. الدين. أكيد هو منسوب. منسوب. صح؟ أوكي, لماذا؟ This one a bit harder. مفعول به لي مخلصان. مخلصان. مخلصان اسم فاعل. اسم فاعل يعمل عمل الفعل. نعم. مخلصان له الدين. مخلصان له الدين. But even we see, subhanAllah, the way the author he speaks is like he's, and we've seen in many of his works, even in this work, that he's following the way of the Quran. This following the way of the Quran. Who knows a verse similar? There's a verse similar with this. In Surah Al-Bayyinah. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ بالplural. لَهُ الدِّينَ. Same, this is what he's talking about here. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Just like they have been canon. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. نعم, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. يعني هذا هذه هي الحنيفية. نعم, وملة إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام, وهي أيضا ملة جميع الأنبياء. This is the way of all of the Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he specifically mentioned in the Quran Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the ulama, they mentioned al-Hanifiyya, because this was known to the people of Quraysh, and the deen al-Hanifiyya was known to them, and they knew about Hanifiyya, and they knew about the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And also the Quraysh, they ascribed to, and their lineage back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So by using this manners and mentioning this here in the Quran, Allah mentioned Ibrahim and he mentioned Hanifiyya and that wakana hanifan. This is mentioned several times in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani in the manner of calling the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know about Ibrahim and they know about that al-Hanifiyya and they know about that way. Even they ascribe to him in their lineage. So to call them to this and to clarify his correct way is very beneficial. And تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. طيب, the author, he says, وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. He mentioned a proof for that here, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. But there's another proof. Allah commanded all of the people to do this, to worship Allah alone with no partners. Who knows the proof? From the Quran. The very first commandment in the Quran. Ya ayyuha, what did he say here? وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. مَا قَالَ وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أو بِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ أَتْبَاعَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. لا, قَالَ وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. All of mankind have been commanded to worship Allah alone. نعم, and the very first commandment in the book of Allah is addressed to جميع الناس. يا أيها الناس. ماذا؟ يا أيها الناس. اعبدوا ربكم. Worship your Lord. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla in his book, rather in the first commandment in his book, he commanded all mankind to worship him alone. He commanded اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. نعم الذي خلقكم. نعم the very first commandment in the book of Allah عز وجل is this right here. So this is the way of Ibrahim and this is the way of all of the Anbiya, that they were upon this way. And all of the prophets before, they were Muslims. All of the prophets before, they were Muslim. Isa, what, Jesus, he was a Muslim. Musa, Moses, he was a Muslim. Alayhim salatu wassalam. Ibrahim, he was a Muslim. Naam, he was a Muslim. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyan wala Nasraniya. Walakin kana Musliman. Kana Hanifan Musliman. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. Allah, he mentioned in his own book, and he said that Ibrahim, he was not a Jew nor a Christian. Rather, he was Hanif and a Muslim. And he was not from the polytheist. It's the clear refutation in Surah Ali Imran of those people who claim that there's three Abrahamic religions. That's a complete contradiction to this verse. This is very clear. This is from the Muhkamat. This ayat does not have, you couldn't understand it differently. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا. Ibrahim, he was not a Jew or a Christian. He was not a Jew or a Christian. To say that his religion is an Abrahamic religion, then this is very dangerous. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا أي مُخْلِصًا كَانَ مُوَحِدًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from the polytheists. So we see that those people, some Muslims have been deterred from this, and they think, they have their call to Wahdatul Adyan, where they have their call to interfaith da'wah and dialogue, and really they're calling to misguidance, and they're aiding in the fall of Islam, and they're bringing deficiency to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very, very disgusting, that they would claim that Islam and Judaism and Christianity will all be on the same level. That's putting the haqq on the same level as the batil. And then if somebody who participate with them, you'll find that the Muslims, they're the weakest among them. And they don't say anything about their deen. And rather they sit there and listen. And they say one or two things. And then the other people, they go to their synagogues and they go to their churches and they participate with them and they pray in the name of Jesus and so on and so forth. And they're belittled. And they're belittled. And then they say, well, we have to have dialogue. Okay, you have dialogue. The Prophet ﷺ, he did not do it like this. Naam, the Prophet, how did he call the Jews and the Christians? How did Allah command him to call the Jews and the Christians? قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ كِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Naam, this is Allah commanded them to come to a word that's the same between us, that we will not worship anyone except for Allah, and that we will not take lords from amongst ourselves besides Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the call. This is the call. So many, يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Oh, people of the book, do not go to extremes in your religion. And do not say about Allah except for the truth. And then one other verses, do not say ثلاثة. Don't say three like this. Allah has said that in His book. Who knows how to make da'wah? The Creator or the creation? The Creator. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Some people, they don't call them disbelievers. Allah has said, say to them, oh, you disbelievers. And you do it with wisdom, but there's no shame or shyness. And there's no mudahana in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's no mudahana in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's wisdom though, and there's mudarat, but there's no mudahana. You don't give up some of the deen for the dunya. La, you don't give up some of the deen. You do the opposite. You give up some of the dunya for the deen. Naam. So he says here, أَنِ الْحَنِفِيَةَ مِلَةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. So Amar Allah bijimiyan nas, one of the very first, or rather the very first commandment in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla clarifies that. Many other verses too, like the verse that he used and he mentioned. He's summarizing for us. Wa khalaqahum laha. The verse he used here is very clear for that. Wa khalaqahum laha. And he created them for that purpose. Wa dalilu qawluhu ta'ala. Naam, here we go again. The author, what is he showing us here? What is the methodology? Huh? Al-masail wa al-dala'il. Al-masail what dala'il. Memorize this terminology like this. Al-masail, al-masail jamu mas'ala. What dala'il jamu dalil. Dala'il aw adillah. Yani al-mas'ala wa daliluha. That's the meaning. The issue and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and the proof for that. And the proof for that. When he says the proof, what does he say? His statement? The statement of Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed, with all respect and love to them. Rahimahum Allah. He says, the dalil is, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. This is how he is attaching the people like this and raising them upon this way. The evidence is in the statement of Allah the Most High. The evidence is in the statement of Allah the Most High. Now that's the evidence. The ulama, they're the guides to the evidence. The ulama, they guide us to the evidence. رَحِمَهُمْ اللَّهُ. نعم جميعاً. The evidence, مَا خَلَقْتُ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَعِ رَبْ لِيَعْبُدُونَ حَرْفُ جَرْ لَا يَدْخُلُ عَلَى الْأَفْعَالِ. والصراحة هو يعني يقال حرف جر صح لكن لي لام التعليل لام التعليل اسمها لام التعليل بعدها أن مضمرة جوازا لي يعبدون ما هو ربي لا ها وياسر we haven't got to film مضارع yet like this but it's beneficial somebody knows I think. ها ليعبدون فعل مضارع منسوب ولم تنس به حذف النون احسنت حذف النون والنون هذه ما هي it doesn't say if you read in the mushaf what does it say الا ليعبدون او الا ليعبدوني there's a kasra there if it was the noon from the noon araf you could there's a fatha الا ليعبدوني. So the kasra there is to indicate that there's ya al-mutakallam mahdhufa. So هذه ya اسمها نون وقاية. نون وقاية. This نون is نون وقاية. نون وقاية. Then really you say إلا ليعبدوني. But the ya is deleted. This is any for reasons or pronunciations from the balagh of the Quran. And a lot of times you'll find that the ya al-mutakallam will be deleted. And sometimes it's so that the flow of the ayah will be in a beautiful manner. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَلَا أُرِيدُ أَيْ يُطْعِمُونِي. The same thing here. يُطْعِمُونِي to feed me. To feed me. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. That's the meaning. I did not create a jinn and mankind except to worship me. Except to worship me, and me alone. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي, except to worship me alone. So the author, he says, وَمَعْنَا يَعْبُدُونَ يَعْبُدُونِي أَيْ يُوَحِّدُونِي يُوَحِّدُونِي, to single me out alone in worship. Many of the ulama, they mentioned that. This is the meaning. It has come from the narration of Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. He said, كُلُّ مَوْضِعٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ عُبُدُ اللَّهَ فَمَعْنَاهُ وَحِّدُ اللَّهَ وَحِدُ اللَّهَ. نعم. وجاء أيضا عنه رضي الله عنهما عبادة الله توحيد الله. نعم عبادة الله توحيد الله. فكل موضع في القرآن يعني ذكر العبادة فالمراد بالعبادة التوحيد. Every place when the Quran is mentioned عبادة worship then the meaning is توحيد. The meaning is توحيد. Ibn Abbas he mentioned this meaning. That every place whenever there's worship Allah alone, what does it mean? To single him out, to have tawheed. And that is because there's no ibadah except with tawheed. And any ibadah that does not have tawheed, then it's not ibadah. Just like the one who has salat, but he doesn't have tahara, wudu, he doesn't have salat. Just like that. So every place where there's a commandment for ibadah, this is a commandment for at-tawheed. So illa liya'buduni, except to worship me alone, meaning to single me out alone, in worship, to single me out alone in worship. The ulama, they mentioned that ibadah, it has two meanings. Ibadah, or it has two usages, and it's used in two manners. Ibadah, bimana at-ta'abbud, wahu al-fi'l. Al-fi'l, ta'abbud, fi'l al-abd. Wa al-muta'abbadu bihi. That's the second meaning. So the two meanings, or the two usages, excuse me, atlaqan, للفظ العبادة. It has two usages. The first one is the action of the servant, the state that he is performing. It's called worship. The state that he's in a state of worship. And then the other meaning is the meaning of the action of worship. And that there's various types of worship. Some of them is charity, some of them is salat. All of this is called worship. Seeking knowledge is worship. giving charity is worship, making hajj is worship. This one is also considered ibadah. But there's another meaning of the word ibadah, and that is called a ta'abbud, the act of performing worship. So the ulama, they make a difference between the two, and it's very beneficial. And at ta'abbud or at ibadah, the ulama, they mentioned in the lugha, it comes from at-tariq al-mu'abbad, wa al-ibadah tadhallul, wa dhul, and to humble oneself, and to be submissive, and to surrender oneself. That's the original meaning of ibadah. And that they would say that the path that is paved and laid flat, they call it mu'abbad, from the same root word, because it's laid out and submissive. And whenever the feet walk over the path over and over and over, that path becomes flattened and laid down, smooth. And this is also from that same meaning of ibadah. So the slave, and this is very beneficial also to visualize in one's mind that whenever we worship Allah, this is how we should be. Submissive and surrendering oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that's the meaning and the linguistic meaning of the word ibadah, tadhallul wal khudu'. Also, it has the meaning from at-ta'alluh, the meaning of hub and love. So that's the origin of ibadah, that a person, he worships Allah out of love for Allah. A person, he worships Allah out of love for Allah. Not because his father told him to. Not because he grew up doing that. Not because everybody else is worshiping Allah, because he loves Allah. His love of Allah carries him to worship Him. Carries him to worship Him. That's why we have seen in previous classes the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and he has defined al-ibadah from this aspect, yani al-ta'abbud, the action of worship, or the state of being in the state of worship is considered, or it is defined as ghayatul hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wal-khudu'. Remember that? Ghayatul al-hub, the peak of love, along with the peak of submission and surrender. Humbleness, submission and surrender. So this is how a person is supposed to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, with love and magnification and surrendering oneself and submitting to Him. Not, and somebody, for example, if he's performing an action of worship, but his heart is not doing it out of love for Allah, or if he's not focusing and he's not thinking about Allah, and he's not surrendering himself to Allah, rather his heart is thinking about the dunya. His heart is thinking about the dunya, what he did yesterday, what he'll do tomorrow, or how much money he has in his bank account, or whatever he's going to say to so-and-so as soon as salat is done, or who's texting me at this moment. All of this, is at this time, he's not in that state. He's not in that state. So a believer has to strive against his soul to be in the state of ibadah. So he will perform the action of ibadah, but his heart has to be in the state of ibadah. Because of this, the ulama, they mentioned that actually worship, the heart has to be involved along with the body parts. And just as the body parts have pillars of worship or conditions for them, the different types of worship, salat, it has conditions, and hajj, it has conditions, and so on and so forth. All actions of worship along with this, while performing salat and hajj, the heart also has to be present. The heart also has to be present. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yaqbalu du'a min qalbin ghafirin lah," that Allah, He does not accept the du'a, the invocation, from a heart that is heedless or entertained with something else. So then a person, he has to also worship Allah with his heart and hope for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's worshiping Him because he loves Him. And whenever a person, he knows that Allah created him, and the stages that we have seen previously in these classes, in that manner, he remembers that. And he ponders over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And he has that realization, and it's in the front of his mind, that he was one time not existence, and Allah brought him into existence in the manner that he knows. And at one time he did not have the situation that he has, and Allah provided all of that for him. And he remembers and he thinks about the creation and the trees and the heavens and the earth, and he knows that where it came from is Allah Azza wa Jal. And that Allah is what He's bringing the night and the day, and He's the providing for all things, and He's powerful and strong, and also He's merciful and kind, and He knows Him by His names and attributes, and He knows Him by His legislation and His creation likewise, then He loves Him, and He worship Him with His love. He worship with Him with His love. This love, it necessitates two things. If we think about something from the dunya, loving something in the dunya, when somebody loves something in the dunya, this requires from him two things. Two things come along with that, yani necessarily. Two other actions of the heart. If there's love for something, or someone. We'll talk about the dunya. Permissible love. Or in any case, any loving something in the dunya. Along with that love, there's other two actions of the heart that come along with it. And it has to be. Hope and fear. If somebody loves someone, then he hopes that they'll come close to him. He hopes that they will love him. He hopes they will be nice to him. He hopes that he will get what he wants from them. He loves them. He's hoping for it. He wants them. And he has hope in that. And also he's afraid that he will lose it, that he will upset them, and that they will turn away from him. Or if he loves something, he hopes that he can keep it. He hopes that he can have it. Right? And he's afraid that he will lose it. So these things, they come coupled together. Somebody who loves something, he hopes that it will remain with him. He hopes that he will be able to benefit from it. He hopes that he will have it and it will not be far from him. He's afraid he will lose it. He's afraid that it will not benefit him. He's afraid that it will be taken away from him. So this love comes coupled with hope and fear. And this is ibadah. This is ibadah. And this is the way to worship Allah. This is the way a believer has to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He with love and hoping for His mercy, hoping for His kindness, hoping for His pleasure, hoping that He would accept it, hoping that He will give him more, hoping that He will rectify his affairs, hoping that He will guide him, continue to guide him, hoping that He will take his soul in a good manner, having hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, and trust and reliance upon Him, also fearing that maybe he will go astray, fearing that his action won't be accepted, fearing that he may be misguided, fearing that he will die as a disbeliever or upon misguidance or sin. This is how you worship Allah Azza wa Jal. This is ibadah. The ulama, they mentioned that the heart, it has these pillars of ibadah. These are the pillars of ibadah. Al-hubbu wal-raja'u wal-khawf. And that's how a believer, he worships Allah Azza wa Jal. This is true worship. That at this time, he will surrender himself and submit. He will surrender himself and submit. And the one who worships like this, then he will have sincerity. This is to remember this, this is the way to purify the intention. To love Allah, it all comes from Allah. Nothing from good can happen except for from Allah Azza wa Jalla. No harm can be removed no one can protect from harm except for Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So his heart is attached to Allah, loving Him and hoping in Him, fearing in Him alone, not attached to the people. He doesn't hope for the reward from the people. Allah created the people, and if Allah didn't decree, the people can't help him anyways. So then his heart is attached to Allah. His hope and his reliance is upon Allah. His fear that Allah would leave him to himself and entrust him to his own self, or would not guide him, or would not aid him, or would not help him. And the life's like this. His whole life and his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ibadah. May Allah bless us from His mercy. May Allah bless us from His mercy. Make us true servants. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana abdan shakuran. He was a thankful slave. He was a thankful slave. That's what a believer, his goal is to be a thankful slave. His goal is not to be a doctor, or not to live in a certain neighborhood, or not to have a certain car. His goal is to be a slave. If he's a slave and he also obtains that, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But he's not a slave to that. He's a slave to Allah. And he uses that, any profession or wealth or property to fulfill his purpose. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the author, he says, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ. Who knows this sentence? وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. This is, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ. التَّوْحِيدِ. Now, the greatest thing that Allah commanded, التَّوْحِيدِ. This is something many people that are not aware of. Many people are not aware of. You say to some people, what is the greatest thing in Islam? What is the greatest commandment in Islam? Some of them will say, oh, being righteous to the parents. Sadiq, what's the greatest thing in Islam? Salah, the greatest thing. No. The greatest thing in Islam. Catch you off guard. At-tawheed. The greatest thing in Islam is at-tawheed. Because salah is not accepted. Without tawheed, zakat is not accepted. Without tawheed, being kind to the parents is not accepted. Without tawheed, no doubt salat is great. And zakat is great. And being kind to the parents is great. But none of this is accepted without tawheed. So tawheed is the greatest thing that Allah has commanded. Naam. And the greatest thing that He has prohibited He says, what is tawheed? وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. We know that tawheed is three different aspects, or some say two. In any case, it's three. نعم, from how, in a detailed look. تَوْحِيد الْرُبُوبِيَّةِ وَتَوْحِيد الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ وَتَوْحِيد الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. Here the author, he has defined tawheed as tawheed الْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. Because this is what is intended from tawheed, and the purpose. And why do we know Allah Azza wa Jalla from His lordship and His names and His attributes? To realize that He is the one worthy of worship, and this is why the messengers were sent, for Allah to be worshipped alone. And this is why the creation is created, and the likes. And this is where the messengers, they had the battle with their nations with regards to this aspect of tawheed. So he, rahimahullah, he defined tawheed from this main purpose and go, huwa ifradu Allahi bil ibadah. To single out Allah alone in worship. And so the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he defined at-tawheed here to be the specific meaning. There's a general meaning and a specific meaning. The specific meaning here is with regards to tawheed al-ibadah. وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. To single out Allah alone in worship. At-tawheed is from the verb وَحَّدَ. وَحَّدَ. نعم, صرف. وحد يوحد وحد توحيدا توحيدا التوحيد ووحده أي جعله واحدا وهنا يعني we say وحد الله يعني يعتقد أنه واحدا to believe that he is one سبحانه وتعالى in his lordship and his names and attributes and also in his right to be worshipped سبحانه وتعالى. So this is a specific meaning. توحيد هو إفراد الله بالعبادة. The general meaning, إفراد الله بما اختص به سبحانه وتعالى من الربوبية والأسماء والصفات والألوهية. يعني to single out Allah alone and that which is specific to Him. يعني من حقوقه سبحانه وتعالى الخاصة به. From the specific rights that only He can do. To single Him out in these. يعني so توحيد will be with regards to His Lordship. And the fact that He creates and provides and sustains for all things, and likewise in His names and attributes, also He is one in them, and no one shares any part of that with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise He is the only one who is worthy of worship alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is at-tawheed, yani in the general sense. And then he says, rahimahullah, wa'adhamu ma naha anhu ash-shirk. And the greatest thing that Allah has prohibited, it is shirk, to associate partners with Allah. He says, وَهُوَ دَعْوَةُ غَيْرِهِ مَعَهُ. And it is to invoke on another one along with him. And he mentioned specifically a da'wah, because this is one of the greatest aspects of shirk, major shirk, and invoking and calling on and supplicating to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hope and with fear and with reverence and with love and magnification. And this is from the greatest aspects of shirk fi du'a. And invocation. So he says, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the evidence for this, the evidence that the greatest thing that Allah has commanded is tawheed, and the evidence for the greatest thing that Allah has prohibited is this statement here of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and worship Allah alone, and do not associate partners with Him whatsoever. How is that the evidence for these two issues? There's two issues here. He mentioned أَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدُ وَأَعْظَمُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ الشِّرْكِ. Two issues. The greatest thing that Allah has commanded is التوحيد, and the greatest thing that He has prohibited is الشِّرْك. And the Shaykh, he said, Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he said, this verse right here is a proof for that. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship Allah and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This verse here is a proof that the greatest thing Allah commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing that He has prohibited is a shirk. How is that the proof for that? مَا وَجْهُ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ وَلُمَا يُكُونُ وَجْهُ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. What is the aspect of this this verse being the evidence for this issue? Who knows this verse? This verse is very famous with the ulama. Some verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they have given them names. The ulama have given the certain verses of the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the names. Like for example, Ayatul Kursi. That's a name, the ulama, they know this verse by Ayat al-Kursi. Also there's Ayatul al-Mihna. What's that? Ayatul imtihan. What ayah is that?
If you love Allah.
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Naam, the ulama, they know this is the ayat of the test. Yeah. Test of the true love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This ayat has a name also. وَعْبُودَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Huh? Allah bada bihi. But what is the name of that verse? Which chapter is it in? Huh? An-Nisa. Surah An-Nisa. Naam. This is the ulama, they call this verse Ayat al-Hukuk al-Ashara. Ayat al-Hukuk al-Ashara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this one verse, 10 rights. The rights of 10. He mentioned the rights of 10, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whose right did he begin with? وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That's the first. He began with his right. And then he mentioned after that, the right of the parents, and then the right of the neighbors, and those, and so on and so forth, until the end of the verse. So the ulama, they know this verse as ayat al-huquq al-ashara, the verse of the 10 rights. And then we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He began with the most important right, which is His right. And also if we understand this along with the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Ya Mu'adh, أتدري ما حق الله على العباد وحق العباد على الله. Do you know, O Mu'adh, the right of Allah upon the servants and the right of the servants upon Allah? And he said, Allah and His Messenger know best. So what did he say? What is the right of Allah? وَإِنَّ حَقَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the right of Allah is that they worship Him alone. Like this verse right here. وَعْبُودَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That they worship Him alone and not associate partners with Him whatsoever. So from this hadith that clarifies that that's the right of Allah, and the same wording almost exactly in this verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which is known as the verse of the 10 rights, and Allah began with His right. So this is indication that this is the greatest right. The greatest right is the right of Allah. And the greatest thing He has commanded from understanding that is this here, the commandment for Tawheed. And what is going to negate Tawheed? Contrary, then that's the greatest thing, because this will invalidate that great commandment. And also He coupled that along in the mention of those 10 rights, وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. وَلَا تُشْرِكُ. What is that? The لا and nahiya. صح؟ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The ulama, they say, النَّهْيُ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّكِرَ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّهِي تُفِيدُ الْعُمُومِ. So شَيْئًا is nakira, and it's in the context of a negation. So that means anything whatsoever. Do not associate anything with Him whatsoever. Do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. Where do you get the word whatsoever? And worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. That's the meaning of the verse. Where do you get any partners with Him whatsoever? Any partners is there. Whatsoever. Because the word shay'an is nakira. Is nakira. So it's very important to learn nakira and ma'rifah. As we've been studying together, ma'rifah and nakira, sah? Ma ma'na ma'rifah?
Ma'rifah is known.
Shayun bayin. Wa nakira. Get ready, inshallah. We have a test this weekend, inshallah. Wafakum Allah jameen. And it's very beneficial. This comes, and we learn like this a little bit, but then later on you see there's great rulings based upon this, an understanding of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. They get that understanding from this nakira in the context of a negation, or here in the context of a prohibition, the context of a prohibition. So then this verse here is a proof that the greatest thing Allah commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing that He prohibited is shirk. Who knows another proof that can prove that? Another verse that can prove that. The greatest thing He commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing He prohibited is shirk. Another proof. وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. نعم. How is the proof? Your Lord has commanded. That none should be worshipped except for Him. This could be a proof also from the context, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before that verse He said, He prohibited from shirk also. And then He mentioned 17 or 18 different commandments all in line. And then He began them with the prohibition of shirk. This is in Surah Isra. صح؟ And then he mentioned that this command, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. And he mentioned all these commandments and prohibitions with regards to wealth and with regards to the orphans and so on and so forth. And then he closed with the prohibition of shirk. So he began them with التوحيد. Naam? So this is also a proof. One more proof. The greatest thing he commanded is التوحيد. Think about it, inshallah. We go tomorrow, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك